This is Hurricane Season, a podcast that explores some of the biggest storms that have greatly impacted Greater Houston people and policies. On the eighth and final episode, Harvey.
Thursday, August 24th, 2017. A four-engine turboprop plane took off from Lakeland, Florida, heading southwest over the Gulf of Mexico. The plane was a modified Lockheed Orion, call sign Kermit. On board was a crew from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Kermit was a hurricane hunter, and on this particular day, the crew was heading straight into the newborn Hurricane Harvey. Kermit's pilot, Commander Justin Kibbe, had spent 7 years flying Hurricane Hunter missions, but Harvey was like nothing he'd ever experienced.
Flying through it and just seeing the amount of rain it was producing while still over water was just unbelievable.
I'm Andrew Schneider. By the time Harvey hit the Texas Gulf Coast, the region and its residents had encountered several lethal weather events. From the Great Galveston Hurricane of 1900 to Hurricane Ike in 2008, the people here had years of experience to draw from. Officials had tweaked preparation, recovery, and response time and time again. But Harvey was nothing like the previous storms. On this final episode of Hurricane Season, we examine Harvey and ways it's prompting Greater Houston to prepare for whatever storm comes next.
Hurricane Season is a project of the Houston Flood Museum in partnership with Houston Public Media and is supported by Houston Endowment. Visit HoustonFloodMuseum.org.
Like many tropical cyclones, Harvey's journey to landfall took a few days. Hurricane hunters with NOAA and the U.S. Air Force tracked the storm every step of the way. Commander Justin Kibbe piloted two missions before Harvey hit Texas.
We are, no kidding, flying into the dead center of the storm to mark that center. And then we're able to fly, do basic patterns around the storm, in and out of the storm.
Kibbe says each trip through Harvey felt like a ride on an out-of-control roller coaster. The goal was to deploy drop sondes. They're cylinders packed with weather reconnaissance and GPS technology. As the cylinders fall through the atmosphere, the instruments record wind speed, temperature, air pressure, and humidity.
By flying into the storm, we're able to get measurements that the satellites can't pick up.
Those measurements fed back into computer models, and those models began to produce an alarming picture, that of a tropical system stalling just southwest of Greater Houston.
And these forecast models were producing unbelievable amounts of rain.
Jeff Lindner is meteorologist for the Harris County Flood Control District.
We've never seen rainfall produced on these models like this before. We're talking 20, 30, 40, 50, even some of them were producing 60 inches of rain. And so the first thing that you think as a meteorologist is, can this happen?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Very pleased to be here with Mayor Turner. Talk about Hurricane Harvey, yes, but...
Harris County Judge Ed Emmett and Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner worked closely on the response. Emmett says the two realized immediately that evacuation wasn't an option.
You can't evacuate 4.5 million people. That takes days. And that would have meant on Wednesday, before the rains ever started on Saturday, we'd have to tell everybody in Harris County to leave. The mayor and I didn't even consider that because, number one, everybody would have laughed.
Mayor Turner was facing another problem. Just a year before, during the Tax Day flood, Houston's fire department struggled with a shortage of high water rescue vehicles. The situation hadn't improved much since.
So, considering the size of the city of Houston and the magnitude of Harvey, we simply didn't have as many high water rescue vehicles and trucks and that I would have liked to have had.
Just hours before it made landfall, Harvey swelled into a monster. Jeff Lindner describes it as rapid intensification.
It went from a tropical depression to a Category 4 in 48 hours.
Harvey struck San Jose Island near Corpus Christi around 5 p.m. on Friday, August 25th. 3 hours later, it made a second landfall on the Texas mainland. The storm surge and winds blasted Rockport, Fulton, and other coastal towns. As Harvey moved inland and northwards, it slowed from a Category 4 hurricane to a tropical storm. And just as meteorologists feared, its forward motion slowed to a crawl, making it even more dangerous. Meteorologist Dan Riley works at the National Weather Service's Houston office. Riley says the slower Harvey moved, the more time it had to pull in moisture and heat from the Gulf, and the more rain the thunderstorms dumped over land.
They came in rounds, and we had one round Friday night, the most intense rain Saturday night, and another band Sunday night.
Bayous and creeks across greater Houston overflowed. The water invaded homes and public buildings, turned highways into lakes. Almost immediately, people began to drown. Some climbed to higher floors or even onto their roofs, hoping to hold out until police or firefighters could rescue them. But first responders were quickly stretched to their limits. Mayor Sylvester Turner was soon forced to seek help outside Houston.
So we were on the phone all night into the wee hours of the morning, calling all around the state, calling on the Coast Guard to help fly in to pick people up off their roofs. We needed them.
It still wasn't enough. Judge Ed Emmett issued a call for volunteers with boats.
Traditionally, emergency professionals don't like to have a lot of volunteers because you worry about them getting in trouble and you're having to go rescue the rescuers. In this case, the event was so overwhelming. We needed every resource we could get. So having the volunteers, I can't even begin to calculate how many lives they might have saved.
Harvey began to overwhelm Greater Houston's flood control infrastructure. That included the Attucks and Barker dams west of the city. In 2009, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers concluded the dams were among the most dangerous in the country. The Corps had made some improvements since, but Judge Emmett says this was more than a structural problem.
Attucks and Barker, when they were constructed, were 20 miles out of town. Nobody was ever going to live there. Well, we've built right up to them and, in fact, behind them.
As Harvey continued to inundate the region with rain, the reservoirs were getting full, so full that they were in danger of overflowing. No one knew where the water would go if it started spilling around the dams. To avoid that, the Corps began what it called a controlled release. The decision is still a controversial one today. While this move prevented uncontrollable flooding in the area and saved some neighborhoods, many other homeowners were flooded out. Hundreds have filed lawsuits against the Army Corps, which could take years to resolve. Similar developments unfolded north of the city. The San Jacinto River Authority released over 100 billion gallons of water to keep the Lake Conroe Dam from collapsing. The dam held, but the water inundated thousands of homes in Montgomery and northern Harris County. And as with the Attucks and Barker floods, many of the homeowners hit by the Lake Conroe release are suing the River Authority. The water also began posing environmental problems. The flooding overtook refineries and Superfund sites. The Arkema chemical plant in Crosby caught fire. Mayor Turner says his biggest fear was that the storm would cripple Houston's water supply. That nightmare nearly came true on Monday, August 28th.
When I got the report that the Northeast Water Purification Plant was totally submerged underwater, and that my people in Public Works were telling me that from all indications we were going to lose power, and that at that point they said 3 hours later the system would no longer be operable.
Turner says he didn't want to pile more stress on residents at a moment when they were struggling to survive. The mayor told his team he would instruct people to start boiling water only if the Public Works Department told him they'd exhausted all options to save the plant.
But until you're able to say that, keep working on it. And quite frankly, don't worry about the cost. Whatever we need to do to keep the system up and running, let's do that and we'll worry about the cost later.
The city's Public Works Department finally contained the situation. Turner says Houston narrowly avoided another problem when the flood threatened to shut down a pair of wastewater treatment plants west of the city.
My faith is strong, you know. Even elected officials learn how to pray. And just to be very candid, I did a lot of that. But I had had and have an exceptional team. And people did not go home. I stayed, they stayed. Everyone did their job.
Turner ultimately did take a break, but it was short.
I got home at about 3 a.m. and turned on the light and saw all of this water on the floor come through my ceiling. And essentially I said, you know, it's not much I can do about it right now.
Turner says he took one look, grabbed some clothes, shut the light off, and went back to work.
When you consider that people's homes were flooding and people were losing all of their furniture, you name it, concerned about their lives, 10,000 plus people in the downtown shelter, the George R. Brown, what was happening to me was not even, didn't register.
The 10,000 at the George R. Brown Convention Center only scratched the surface of those who had lost their homes. Judge Emmett offered to turn the NRG Center into a second mega shelter and reached out to the nonprofit Baker Ripley to run it. Former Houston Mayor Anise Parker was then a senior vice president with the nonprofit.
Within 6 hours, we were functional. Within 8 hours, we were really ready to receive guests. And by about 10 o'clock that night, they started coming in.
Harvey finally left Houston behind on Wednesday, August 30th. It moved north, turning its wrath on Beaumont and Port Arthur, before finally leaving Texas altogether. By the time it was done, the storm dumped 34 trillion gallons of water, shattering the U.S. rainfall record. John Nielsen Gammon teaches atmospheric science at Texas A&M University. He's also Texas State climatologist.
Right afterwards, the question is, you know, how historic really is this? And was it so heavy that it was beyond what we had ever even designed infrastructure to plan for? We designed things for different levels of risk, 100-year flood, 500-year flood. And this event turned out to be somewhere in the neighborhood of flooding that should never, ever happen.
Harvey killed more than 100 people, all but one of them in Texas. It caused $125 billion in damage, making it the second costliest storm in U.S. history after Hurricane Katrina. Anise Parker says she saw at NRG Center how the disaster brought out the best in people, but also how it brought out the worst.
There was a family there with a couple of kids, and really all they'd managed to salvage was the baby carriage that their youngest rode in. Someone stole the baby carriage. Now, we were able to find them another one, but if I could have done damage to the person who did that, I would have if I'd found them. I mean, how do you steal from somebody who has almost nothing left? But people do.
In the wake of the storm, the federal government pledged to make Houston and the state whole again. But it wasn't long before attention turned to other disasters. Hurricane Irma struck Florida just a few days after Harvey. Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands a few days after that. Congress ultimately voted $90 billion for all the disaster-struck regions. That's just half of what Governor Greg Abbott requested for Texas alone to pay for both recovery and new flood mitigation infrastructure. Jim Blackburn is co-director of Rice University's Severe Storm Prediction Center.
You hear a lot about the federal projects. They will not solve the problems on our bayous. So we need to be honest about who we can't protect, and we need to buy those houses out.
Both Houston and Harris County have revised their construction ordinances, requiring new homes stand at least 2 feet above the 500-year floodplain. The county is seeking voter approval for a $2.5 billion flood control bond. The election will take place 1 year to the day after Harvey made landfall. But Judge Emmett says there's only so much we can do to control floods.
We have to be willing to admit we live on the Gulf Coast and that nature's going to take its course. So rather than constantly fighting nature, I think we need to say, okay, you win this round, we're going to try and find another way.
As Emmett is fond of saying, Mother Nature has a long memory. And as former Houston Mayor Anise Parker says, the land where Houston sits flooded long before humans arrived, and it's likely to keep doing so long after we're gone.
Hurricane Season is produced by Andrew Schneider, Davis Land, Todd Holslander, and me, Maggie Martin. You can listen to our complete series of Hurricane Season by going to houstonpublicmedia.org/Harvey.